We're frail creatures of dust. The best of us is bad. The strongest of us is weak. The happiest of us becomes lonely. We need your help. Meet thou with us for these moments, please. Amen. Now, we must hasten. I normally, on Sunday morning, and for that matter on Sunday night, I normally speak to my own people. This morning, however, I'm going to digress just for one sermon, an occasional message, to speak to those who are our guests, who've never taken time to rightly relate yourself with your God. I'm not going to preach a hellfire and brimstone message. I have some of those, but I'm not going to preach one. I think perhaps this morning most of my message will be in a conversational type manner. And I'd like to do what I think the Lord meant when he said, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." I want you to listen carefully. Our folks will listen in, of course, as I talk to those of you who never yet received Christ, and you do not know that if you died, you'd go to heaven. I will not embarrass you this morning. You will not now or ever be singled out in this church or embarrassed in any way. But I will lovingly this morning try to convince you of the sweetness of being a child of God. Did you ever notice how God used in the Bible, or uses in the Bible, the family positions as figures of speech concerning his people? For example, God is called the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he often said, "My Father," or "Holy Father." In the Lord's model prayer, he said, "Pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And then, of course, Jesus is called the Son of God. Don't you recall when our Lord Jesus was baptized in Jordan River, how that the voice came from heaven, from the Father, and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You know that the family, little family terminology continues. Jesus is called, the Bible, our elder brother. And we are called God's children. Jesus in the Bible in some places is called the bridegroom, and he chooses to call his family his bride. And then we who are God's children, that makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. And so God chooses to call us brothers and sisters. Are you listening? And so the family tie terminology continues. He cares for us, the Bible says, like a mother cares or nurses a child. And there's the mother and child relationship. Don't you recall in the book of 1 John, beloved John calls his converts his little children. He said, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." And Paul called Timothy, his preacher boy, his son in the ministry. And Israel was called the wife of Jehovah. And our conversion is compared in Luke 15 to a son coming home to his father. And then the nation Israel, the people of God, are compared in the book of Hosea to an adulterous, whoring wife who comes back again to her husband. And then, of course, the sweetest of all is heaven is called our home. And so, those of you this morning who've never yet trusted Christ as Savior, I will not scold you, nor will I condemn you. I will simply recommend to you to join this wonderful family that Ephesians called the family of God, both on earth and in heaven. Now, there are many things that we get at salvation. For example, when you become a child of God or get saved, you get forgiveness of sin. I love that. Forgiveness of sin. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Oh, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Bless God, my sins are gone. It's a wonderful thing. I do not know a more wonderful thing than to know that your sins are forgiven. Did you know this morning every sin of your life can be forgiven before you leave this auditorium? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But that isn't all you get in salvation. You get a new nature. God imparts to you His own divine nature. And though I'm still bothered with the old man, I've got a new nature in there too that wants to do right. Christ in me, the hope of glory. But that isn't all. I have a home in heaven. Did you know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven? Did you know that? Did you know I'm just one heartbeat from the glory land and the glory world? Oh, that's wonderful. It's salvation. I got forgiveness of sin. And I got a home in heaven. I got a new nature. But I'll tell you something else I got too. I got saved from hell. I'm not going to go to hell either. Somebody, well, believe in that old hellfire brimstone preaching. Well, if it works, I do. And it works. I'm saying that I thank God I'll never go to hell. And not only that, I'm justified. When I got saved, God declared me as righteous as His own dear self. And God does not see my sins, for my sins have been imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're covered, and God does not see them. But that isn't all. I have the peace that passeth understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart. Sing it. Down in my heart. I have the peace that passeth understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart. And so many things come at salvation. But there's one bonus that I want to talk about today. Not only forgiveness of sin, not only a new nature, not only salvation from hell, not only the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, not only justified as if we'd never sinned, but there's a wonderful bonus, and that is you become a part of the most wonderful family in the whole world, the family of God. And may I this morning, may I lovingly talk to you about my family. May I tell you about my Father. When I was born again, He became my Heavenly Father. And He allows me to call Him my Father. I mean, the great God that made the Rocky Mountains says to me, I can call Him my Father. I mean, the great omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, the one that holds the worlds in space and the one who caused the trees to rise and the one who caused the flowers to bloom and the one who makes the sun rise in the morning and set in the evening. Of course, it's not up here. It's down south all the time. But you know, He is my Father, but that isn't all. You know what He tells me? He tells me if I want to, I can call Him my Abba Father. And that means Papa or my Daddy. I wish you knew what I'm talking about. He's the Creator of all the world. And yet he lets me call Him my Papa, my Heavenly Papa, or my Heavenly Daddy. Let me tell you how much He loved me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May I tell you how much my Daddy loves me, my Heavenly Daddy? He was willing to let Jesus leave heaven and let Jesus come to earth. And He was willing before the world was ever created to give His Son and offer Him as the eternal sacrifice of whom John the Baptist could say, Behold, the Lamb of God is coming. He'll take away the sins of the world. Every time a lamb was offered on Passover day, the Father's heart cringed because He knew that lamb represented His Son. And He knew that someday He'd see the nails and piercing the hands of His own dear Son. Every time a little turtle dove fluttered its wings, every time a lamb bleated for the last time, or every time a pigeon's wings were covered with blood, or every time the he-goat was offered, every time the Passover was offered, the Father said, That represents my Son. And all those years of the offering of the lambs and sacrifices, every time the heart of God would skip a beat and God's burden would get heavier, but God loved me so much. Listen, wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. I said to my people 10,000 times, I don't know any better news than to tell you that God loves you today. Oh, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, and shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. He's my Heavenly Father. He never slumbers, nor he sleeps, nor sleeps. In all these years he's provided. I wish I had time this morning to stand up here and tell you how good God's been to me. I wish I had time this morning to tell you about how he's provided and cared. I wish I could tell you about, as a little lad, how my mother prayed down enough food to keep us from starvation, and how with a drunkard husband in a tavern somewhere, and a little boy to rear, and the 50 cents a day for a job, she got on her knees every night and said, "Dear God, feed my boy." And thank God he did feed her boy. I wish I could tell you how God, I mean back on it when no money came in. I wish I could tell you how my Heavenly Father cares for me. Ah, his eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I wish you knew him too. I wish you knew this wonderful, wonderful family to which we belong, our wonderful Heavenly Father. And now, let me tell you about my older brother in the family. His name is Jesus. I first heard his name at my mama's knee when I was a little boy, when every night she would hold the Bible up and say, "This is the Word of God, and Jesus is the Son of God." And I had to say it thrice every night, "Mama, Jesus is the Son of God." And she taught me they love me. And she taught me to sing before anybody ever taught me to sing. "Jesus loves me." Sing it. "This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible..." Did you hear that? My older brother is Jesus. And when I was 11, I trusted him. And now for almost 40 years, I've been preaching about him. And over 41,000 times I've stood behind a pulpit like this, before crowds like this, some small and some big, some much smaller than this, and some much bigger than this, and sometimes 10, 20,000, and sometimes 5 or 10 people. I've been able to preach about my older brother. 2,000 years ago, he came. Angels announced his coming. And shepherds came to worship him. And wise men brought him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And heaven bent low. And for 33 years, my older brother lived here on this earth. He who had had angels to minister to him now has no one to care for him at all. He who had lived in a heavenly home now has no place to lay his head. And when the foxes scurried to their holes and the birds flew to their nests, the Son of Man, my older brother, had no place to lay his head. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was despised and hated and misunderstood. Why? Because he's my older brother and he loves me and he came to be my sacrifice and pay the penalty for my sin. I wish you knew him. You dear precious people came to visit this morning. Somebody brought you. I wish you knew what I'm talking about. There's a great, wonderful family out there, and I belong to that family. And I want to tell you about my older brother. I wish you knew him. He's really what you're seeking. You folks last night that spent your night in the disco, you didn't find what you wanted, did you? You're looking for Jesus and just didn't know it, that's all. And you folks that got drunk last night, went out in the town, you didn't get what you wanted, did you? Got a brown taste in your mouth this morning, got a guilt feeling and a guilt complex. You know why? Because your heart is hungering for Jesus, and you tried to fill that empty spot with liquor, and that didn't fill it. You tried to fill that empty spot with dope, and that didn't fill it. You tried to fill that empty spot with pleasure, and that didn't fill it. You tried to fill the empty spot with money, and that didn't fit it. I've got news for you. That spot's only fillable by my older brother. And this morning, he who is the Lamb of God, and he who is the light of the world, and he who is the bread of life, and he who is the way, the truth, and the life, and he who is the resurrection, and he who is the true vine, and he who's my older brother, he said, "I'd like to have you in my family." And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to belong to my family. Let me tell you, not only about my father and about my older brother, but let me tell you about my family book. I have here a book inspired, every word of it. I mean, the one I have in my hand is God's Word. I tell my people, if I didn't believe this Bible I hold in my hand was the Word of God, if I thought the Word of God was only in the original language, I'd get on the next plane to the Holy Land, and I'd break in wherever the oldest manuscripts are, and I'd steal those manuscripts, and I'd make copies of them right quick and bring them back to my people, because the folks I pastor, I don't want them to have a reasonable facsimile of God's Word. I want them to have God's Word. Well, you say modern scholarship doesn't say that. Well, then modern scholarship gone then. Fully on modern scholarship. Let me tell you about the family book. This is a love letter from my father and from my older brother. And they got together with another one that gets in cahoots with them an awful lot. And they got together and they gave me this book. And I wish I could tell you. It's not as pretty as magazines. It's not as exciting to look at. And the cover is really not very pretty. And there's not a single picture in here as far as we count pictures. But it's a wonderful book. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life and beauty. Oh, listen to me, dear sinner friend. You look at us and say, oh, that bunch of narrow-minded fanatics. You don't understand. You don't understand. We're not fanatics. We just belong to a happy family. And we want you to get in that family and meet our wonderful Father and our wonderful Savior. But that isn't all. Let me tell you about my brothers and sisters. Now, may I have your attention, please, for a moment? May I tell you about my brothers and sisters? And there they sit this morning. They're beside you. You folks are visiting there. They're all over this building. This is my family, and these are my brothers and sisters. Now, I want to say they're not perfect. And if you'll examine my brothers and sisters, you'll find that they have flaws and weaknesses. And if you want to call us hypocrites, we can give you ample reason to call us hypocrites if you want to, because we're not perfect. But for 25 years, many of us have been here together. For 25 years, we have buried our dead and reared our children and shared this place. For 25 years, a quarter of a century almost, we have met in this place or the one next door. We have built together. We have torn down a building together. Now say this. Now listen to me carefully. If the only reason for becoming a child of God, besides going to heaven, is to get to be a part of a family like we have at First Baptist Church of Hammond, and like God's family is, I'd want to be a child of God. I mean, you say, oh, you folks give up so much. Yeah, we give up death and cancer and heart attacks and rattlesnakes and other things that evil and that bad. Look, you say, oh, you poor people never have any fun. I'd like to bet on that. I'll bet you a quarter we do. I'm sorry. It's not right to bet. So I'll bet you a dime we do. Yeah. Listen, there's more real genuine fun in this church than all the taverns in Hammond put together last night. There's more real genuine. Why? Because we belong to a family and we love each other. And they're not perfect, but I love them dearly. And I wouldn't trade the people in this room. I was thinking a while ago, these men on the platform are like my own sons and younger brothers. And this dear choir, like my own dear family, all but, well, a few over here on this side. But I thought last night, after we had our deacon's war once again last night, I thought as I left how much I love those men. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to belong to a family of God's people. I wish you could be a part. The other day I preached a sermon on the subject of servant of God. And from that sermon, I wrote a poem. And I have not read it to my people yet, but it's called To My People. And it's called Let Me Be Your Servant. I hope you'll listen. It tells something of how we feel toward each other as God's children. It's called Let Me Be Your Servant. I used to sit in college class and ask the sluggish year to pass. I had a goal to reach. My mind would soar above the clouds and dream when overflowing crowds would come to hear me preach. And now I stand before the crowds, with mind descending neath the clouds. My goals are rearranged. I simply want to fill your needs, so lovingly I gently plead. My dreams have all been changed. Just let me be your servant. Just let me help you rear your young and pray for them when life's begun. Just let me catch your falling tears and alleviate your mounting fears. And let me share with you my years to turn your groanings into cheers. Just let me be your servant. Just let me pray when you're ill and warm you when life's air is chill. Just let me preach and teach the truth and let you help you train your youth. Just let me be there when you're wed and bury your departed dead. Just let me be your servant. Just let me sit across from you when life's decisions come in view to offer counsel and advice and point you to a changeless Christ. Anoint you when you face the knife. Assure you when you're bathed in strife. Just let me weep when you're sad and laugh with you when you're glad. Just let me be your servant. I have no titles I aspire, nor honors that I e'er desire. My name wants no adorning frill. Just Brother Hiles, please, if you will. And let me know the growing thrill of being called your servant. I claim no fancy pedigree or celebrated family tree. I play no David's soothing harp. My saying's always flat or sharp. I offer just a raspy voice, a clearing one that off the noise. I only claim to be sincere. My only cause for being here is just to be your servant. I cannot offer youthful face, nor Dale Carnegie's polished grace. But I can offer you, my dears, a love that's honed by many years of toil and sacrifice and tears. Just let me be your servant. I offer you my days and nights and pledge to you to always fight against the wrong and for the right. I cannot be a youthful knight, but I can be your servant. And if by chance my life doth reach a time at which I cannot preach, should failing health or mind or voice force you to make another choice, when someone else has filled my place to speak to you of God's sweet grace, let me still be your servant. I'll clean the building where you meet. I'll shovel snow or clean the street or drive a bus or wash the walls or polish floors in all the halls. With senile mind or palsied hand, I'll do the very best I can. Please let me be your servant. And then when heaven beckons me, and my dear Savior's face I see, when I'm ushered all around my bright and shiny new hometown, who cometh in? His dwellers ask. My hope, me hopes, my guide will check my pass. Then quietly to my neighbors say, a servant now has come our way. And when we've lived a million years in that glad home which outlaws tears, I hope my house is right near those whom back on earth my Savior chose for me to serve and help and love. And point to him who dwells above. I trust my occupation will be that of busy servant still. And may the Savior allow me be right near the ones who followed, loved, and prayed for me. I hope I live next door to thee so I can be your servant. I wish this morning I could reach out and take every single person in this room who does not know Christ as your Savior. And I wish I could tell you you're missing something. Oh, you say, I know. I've heard about that. I'm not talking about hellfire preaching now. I'm not even talking about heaven. I'm talking about right here on earth. You're missing something. You're missing the blessed joy belonging to a wonderful family, the family of our God. I wish you could be a part. Let me tell you about my family. Let me tell you about my home. It's being built right now. One of our members at Texas, I was pastoring Miller Road. Our members are buying a new house. They're having a new house built. Went down to get the utilities turned on. And so the lady at the city desk or city utilities place said, well, where do you live? It's out on Caldwell Street. And she said, oh, that's a beautiful neighborhood. Lovely homes out there. And my member of my church said, oh, it's just temporary. They're building a lot better one for us. We're waiting for a lot better one. We live just temporary. She said, wow, you mean you're going to move in a home pretty than those on Caldwell? Oh, I said, that's right. That's right. She said, where is it? He said, it's in Glory. And she said, you must be a member of Miller Road Baptist Church. Yeah. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're building me a home. It's 1,500 miles long, this city which I'm going. It's 1,500 miles wide. It's 1,500 miles high. The streets are paved with gold. The gates are made of pearl. There's a tree of life. a mansion. Let me tell you what's not there. My home has no cancer. I got word just the other day that my good friend B.R. Lakin went to heaven this week. We won't ever get that news anymore. My home has no 12-year-old boys like we have in our church. That's Hodgkin's disease. My home has no senior citizens whose mind is senile. My home has no wrinkles or no furrows. My home has no bent shoulders or weak bodies or palsied hands or unsure steps. My home has no hospitals. It has no ambulances. Has no fire departments. Has no police department. My home has no taverns. My home has no Playboy magazines. My home has no dirty television programs. My home has no temper. Nobody ever loses their temper where I'm going. My home has no sin. My home has no disease. I wish you knew what I'm talking about. I was sitting on the airplane the other day, not a very wealthy man, and we're talking, and he said to me, he said, you're the first intelligent fundamentalist I ever met. I said, thank you. Come to think of it, I never met one either. And but he said, you're the first intelligent fundamentalist I ever met. And this wealthy man, very wealthy man, lives over here on the North Shore Drive, one of these big, beautiful apartments there overlooking Lake Michigan. He said, Mister, I'd give anything in this world if I could believe what you believe about heaven. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. The Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. I go to my mother's to visit her. I went Wednesday to see her, and she was bright and cheerful and strong for her, for 96, for all, having been near death. I went yesterday, and she was bad and weak and had a terrible day and a terrible night. Won't be into that, my home. You saw, come on, don't believe that old pie in the sky. You could if you just put your faith in Christ. Man said, I said that over here one Sunday morning after service and looked at me and he said, Reverend, he said, I don't believe all that old stuff, that old pie in the sky stuff you preach. In the first place, some dirty professors meddled with him. And I looked at him as he looked at me through a scowling face and almost a bitter look. And he said, I don't believe all that pie in the sky stuff you preach. And I said, but, sir, don't you wish you could? And he broke. And tears streamed down his eyes. And he said, Reverend, I'd give anything in the world if I could believe what you preach. I wish you knew my family. Let me tell you about my future. Any moment, my older brother's going to come back. Any moment, my two little sisters are going to rise out of those graves down into Texas. Any moment, my mama's going to have a well body and straight shoulders and can walk and jump. Any moment, I'm going to rise to meet him in the air. Any moment, we're going to see the beloved dead that have left us from these pews, men that have served on deacon boards and folks that have sung in this choir and people we've won to Christ and folks who've won many of us to Christ. Any moment, we're going to see him. And then we're going to rise to meet him in the air. And we shall be married to him. And this old ugly puss you see right here is going to be beautiful. And I'm going to be a bride all adorned from a husband. That's what I'm going to be feminine. We're going to get married. And then at the end of the marriage, my honeymoon is going to be a horseback ride. And we're going to come back to earth on horses. We're going to establish a kingdom on earth. And Moscow will have fundamental churches all over it. We'll use Mr. Castro's house for parsonage. And Jesus is going to live on Mount Zion. And every year, I'm going to go to the Holy Land. Have to go. If I don't go to the Holy Land every year, it won't rain back in my hometown. And I'm going to go to the Holy Land every year and tour the Holy Land. Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, and all the cities of the Holy Land. And then, after that 1,000 years of ruling and reigning on earth, when we shall see the scars in his hands and feet, inside. And we shall see him face to face. Then the holy city of New Jerusalem is coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. I wish you had my home. I wish you belonged to my family. Oh, you say, I don't want to be a Baptist. I haven't mentioned that this morning. I want you to get my family, that's all. I don't believe all of them. I'm talking to you about my family, that's all. Are you trying to get my money? Yeah, I tried a while ago, but it failed. Not trying now to get it. Gave up hope when I saw the offering plate. Not trying to get your money. Well, you say, I go to the house. I don't care what you belong to. I'm trying to get you to join the family of God. I want you to have my Heavenly Father as your father. I want you to have my older brother as your brother. I want you to have my friends and family as my brothers and sisters as your brothers and sisters. I want you to have the same home they're preparing for me. And I want you to have the same book that God's given us, the family book. Now listen to me. You say, preacher, I'd like to belong to that family. May I tell you this? I rarely ever have a sad moment. I don't recall the last time I went through depression. You know why? My Heavenly Father watches over me. My father and my older brother and the family. We belong to a family. We have a father. We have an older brother. We have brothers and sisters. We have a home. And you can belong to that family. You say, preacher, what church do you have to join to belong to that family? You don't join a church to get in that family. There are millions of church members that are not even in that family. No, you don't do it. There are four simple things you've got to know. Listen carefully. The first thing you've got to know is that you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'm saying you've got to know you're a sinner. Do you know you're a sinner? All right, that settles it. You're one quarter of your way to heaven right now. And one quarter of your way to the family of God. You know you're a sinner. Number two, you've got to know that sinners are condemned under the judgment of Almighty God. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Vision is said to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, to everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Every single sinner is under the condemnation of an almighty, righteous, holy, and just God. Let's hurry and get to the next one, because I want to give you some good news. And that is, the Lord Jesus came as God incarnate, God in the flesh. And he took your sins and put them against his own record and went before the judgment of God Almighty and stood before the holiness and justice of God. And God looked and saw that Jesus was bearing your sins. And God said, I accept that payment as penalty for the sins of my people. I'm saying that you've got to know you're a sinner. You've got to know that sinners are lost. You've got to know that Jesus Christ came to the earth and paid the penalty for your sins. And now the penalty has been paid. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I'm saying, listen, do you know you're a sinner? Good. Do you know that sinners are lost? Do you know that Jesus paid the penalty for sinners? He became your substitute on the cross. And fourthly, if you this morning, realizing those three things, you're a sinner, and sinners are lost, and Jesus lived and died and rose again so that he could take your place, become your substitute. If you this morning will look from a sincere heart and say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm lost and under your condemnation, and I know that you came and was born a virgin, lived a sinless life, and fulfilled and filled full of the law, and I know you died for me as my substitute. And I'm not coming to you with what I can do, but what you did. And I trust you as my Savior. If you will look to God this morning and receive Christ as your Savior with a sincere heart, I've got news for you. God will forgive every sin you ever committed. God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning. God will justify you as if you'd never sinned in the presence of Himself. And God will save you from hell, and immediately He'll put your name on a mansion in glory. And you can be His child and know that if you died, you'd go to heaven. But that isn't all. You belong to a wonderful, wonderful family. As we are marching to Zion, you will belong the family of God. May I lovingly admonish you to trust Him. May I admonish you to say yes to Him today. And I'll be honest with you. We tricked you this morning. We tricked you. Say, how? We gave you something for coming. We gave you one of my books and a church photo album, one of my little pamphlets. We gave it to you. You said, I thought you were trying to get a crowd. No, we just sort of sneaky that way. I know why we did it. We did it because we love you and because we want you to become a member of the great family of God. That's why we did it. That's all. That's it. I get a lot of criticism because our crowds are big. Hello, Howells, is it just after numbers? I'm not concerned about the criticism. I want to be sure in my heart it's not true. That's all. If you knew our concern is for you as a person. We want you to know what we have and have what we have. We're not saying be what we are because we aren't what we ought to be. But I guarantee you, though there's not wrong with us, and nothing wrong with what we have, I guarantee you for sure, and there's nothing wrong with whom we have either. That's why the choir sang a while ago, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I wish I could come to you personally and put my hand out and say, dear friend, I got something I want you to have. I got somebody I want you to have. Won't you come to Christ this morning? We're not going to ask you to join the church. We're not going to ask you to take communion, take a Eucharist, take a sacrament. We're not going to ask you to write a check out. Now, we'll ask you next Sunday maybe. But not now. We just want you. We just sing, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. We found what you're looking for, and what we have is free to you. Just, somebody said, for the asking? No, not even that. For the trusting. For the trusting. Now, our Father.